and welcome to the Retro Asylum.
No, it's definitely 254, definitely.
This is Matt here, and Chris is here as well, as you can hear. He just told me that this is episode 254, so welcome along to that episode. This is a small one, because we're just going to be discussing which games we will be voting for the Game of July, aren't we, Chris?
Yes.
And you thought you were going to get me there by disturbing me or interrupting me while doing the intro, but you didn't. You didn't.
So is this your new tactic now? Is just to carry on?
Just carry on through. Yes, yes. That's the new tactic, because I need a tactic, because there's mischief going on every single time, isn't there?
It's been going on for a lot longer than I've been around, that's for sure.
Yep, yep, yep. Oh, man, back in the day when we used to do it to Dean like 3 or 4 times, he'd be so pissed after a while.
It's still funny to do it to him now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, it is. But you'll get the chance very soon, won't you?
Yes, it looks that way. I'm in the chair.
Yes, yes, you are. Oh, well, but July is a bit of a special month, because July is our Listener's Choice Month, where the listeners have been writing lots of great suggestions for us for games that we can pick from. Our long list is very long this month. And you and I, we're going to whittle that list down to only 4 entries so that the listeners can get to vote on those, right?
We're certainly going to try. It's going to be really hard, though, it always is.
It is going to be hard because, man, they've got some great games here. So should we just dive straight on into it? Or is there anything you'd like to say before we get started?
Not really. We're going to have plenty of time to chew the fat, aren't we, I suppose, over the next few weeks. I'm sure listeners are dying to know what we've both been up to, but there'll be plenty of time for that. We've got a long list here to go through. I think we should just crack on and get started.
Yeah, let's do that. So our very own John Lee has suggested Legend of the Mystical Ninja for the Super Nintendo. Is that a game you played before, Chris?
No. You?
No, me neither.
So I know this series better for the N64 iteration.
Yeah.
Which isn't that called The Legend of the Mystical Ninja starring Goemon?
Could be.
It's a spin-off of the anime, I think, isn't it? The Goemon anime.
Mm.
I could be completely wrong. I think it is. Looks quite nice. Kind of scrolling, beat-em-up-y thing with kind of RPG elements, I think, from a quick look.
Yeah.
Pretty obscure from John V.
Mm. Yeah.
Not an obvious choice, but that's good. I think it looks quite nice.
Yeah. Interesting title, indeed. Yeah.
Mm. You've never played it?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
No. Yeah. It does look quite nice.
There's lots of games here, actually, that I haven't played on this list. I think it's like a 50-50 split, actually. Yeah, lots of games that I'm interested in trying at some point.
Because normally, you know, when you've not played a game, you know what happens.
Yes, Chris. Yes. What happens? Come on. What happens?
Well, normally you hate it before you've even tried it.
Now, that's actually a lie, and you know that, mate. You know that. So what actually normally happens is that even no matter how I feel about a game before we start playing it, I always end up loving it. And I know it's such a cliche, but when you put some time into stuff, you find stuff to like. I mean, there have been very, very few Game Club games that I haven't ended up really enjoying. But a few. I mean, we did play... Somebody made me play this girls game recently. I forget what it was called, but I didn't actually enjoy that one. But apart from that, normally I start enjoying them after a while.
I even
really, really enjoy Mayhem and Munsterland. I initially didn't like that, but it's really good now.
Yeah. The listeners ought to know that when I was teasing you about this over our Telegram chat, you actually went through every single game in the game club that we've played.
Yes.
And you found all the ones that you never played before. That's very impressive. And, you know, I'm a lawyer, and I quite like you compiling your evidence against me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm nothing if not thorough, so.
Exactly. What's next?
Well, the next one is Chris, 1983, who suggested Thief 2. It's a PC game, Windows game, it says here. That's probably right. Thief 1 would have been a DOS game, wouldn't it?
Very late DOS game.
It could have been
game,
Windows as well. Yeah. But the Thief, for me, it's one of those series I've always wanted to play. I remember watching one of my friends play it. He loved the Thief games. And it's the original stealth game, isn't it? I mean, third person. What is it? First? It's first person, isn't it? First person shooter-like stealth game.
it actually started off quite an interesting debate on Discord. I don't know whether you, I mean, our Discord chat is so busy these days, it's very difficult to keep up with you. It's easy to miss stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
On Discord. But this suggestion did start off a bit of a debate about whether, and it was Patrick from the Retrospectives podcast who suggested that actually, you know, if you're going to do a Thief game, you probably ought to go back to the start because there's such a big difference mechanically between one and two. Chris 1983 didn't change his mind though, so I left it as Thief 2.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that is the one that we are considering here.
So
I've never played a Thief game.
No, me neither. And I've actually always really wanted to. So I love the stealth games. We've talked about Dishonored a few times. I really love that game, for example. So I love games that are stealth heavy. Once again? Yeah.
Thief is Looking Glass, right?
It's Looking Glass Studios, yeah. Published by Eidos in 2000. Yeah. So, a Windows game indeed. And it's actually developed in the Dark Engine, which was always, not always, also used for System Shock 2, a game I really like.
Yeah, I mean, System Shock 2 was quite a good few years before that, though, wasn't it? 95-ish?
Couldn't have been that old, is it? Yeah, you might be right, actually. Hmm.
It's interesting that, though. I'd love to get into the Thief series, and from the Discord chat, there's loads of fan levels and mods like you'd expect for a game like this.
Yeah.
So it's once you kind of go down the rabbit hole, I suspect there's plenty of content out there to explore.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. So that was Thief 2. I'll take the next one as well then. It's Retro Fun for Everyone, aka Rich. He says he wants us to play Kid Dracula. So Kid Dracula was a 1993 game for the Famicom, right?
For the Game Boy, wasn't it?
It's for the Game Boy. Of course it is. Of course it is. That's true.
Yeah.
And it's
Castlevania spin-off.
Castlevania spin-off, like a comical gothic platform adventure. Of course it's the Game Boy. I've actually played this before. That's a really good game.
Is it?
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I really like
it. Yeah, I've not played it, but I've heard actually it's really good, and it's easy just to dismiss it as a kind of silly, childish Castlevania spin-off, but I remember Retronauts doing something on it a couple of years ago. I'm sure they did a good 2 hours talking about Kid Dracula.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's actually meant to be very good. Rich was saying that he'd recently added it to his Game Boy collection, so it was the kind of first thing he kind of came to hand when we asked the listeners to submit some suggestions. So yeah, as good a reason as any, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to do the next one?
I'll take the next one. And another Rich, Retro Rich. I hope it's not the same one. And he's just sneakily suggesting two titles. I don't think it is.
No.
A game that I'm pretty sure we've had at least on our long list before in the RTS theme is Herzog's Vi.
Yep.
I'm almost certain that it was on the long list for the RTS games. So, yeah, a once obscure but now seems quite famous early RTS, the godfather of the RTS genre, maybe certainly one of the early games for the Mega Drive, of course, early 90s, possibly even late 80s RTS. I'm very intrigued by Herzog's Vi.
Yeah, me too.
Chris O'Regan.
It kind of looks like, I've never played it actually. My first experience in this genre was Dune 2. The Battle for Arrakis, a great game. Yeah. But this looks like it's from 1989, and it looks like it has the same kind of feeling, the same kind of interface even as these modern RTSs. So
I think
this could be where it started.
Chris O'Regan streamed this when he did his RA streams on a Sunday evening before he defected. And it does look, I remember watching him play it, and it does look very interesting. My only worry, and I've always thought of this whenever I've considered this game, is that I think the thing that kept me playing Command & Conquer for however many 36 hours that I played it for was that the story just keeps you moving from mission to mission. You know, it's those little cutscenes. It just breaks it up.
Yeah.
Whereas Herzog's Vi just seems, mechanically it seems really good. But whether I could play it for a whole month without really any plot to get into, just playing skirmishes, not sure. It's my only worry with that.
Yep, true. I mean, even Dune 2 had stories being, story segments being told between missions and the...
or at least a recognisable world. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're a fan of the Dune world, that will keep you going. The fact that you're just in a world that you're a fan of.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
I do worry a little bit that there's just maybe not enough substance to the things that aren't really substantial about it. It's the plot, it's the kind of aesthetics, I think that would, or the lack of them, that will put me off.
And did we mention that it's a Sega Mega Drive game? Just because most people would probably think that this is a PC game for it being a real-time strategy game.
Yeah, it's a Mega Drive game, unbelievably.
Yeah, yeah.
Next, we've got Kit, and again, this is another one that has featured on our long list before. I think I brought this to the table, I'm pretty sure, and I can't remember what theme it was. Maybe it was the DOS games. Carmageddon.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when we spoke about this?
No, I remember we spoke about it, but I can't remember which episode that would have been.
We've
done far too many episodes by now, mate.
It must have been the DOS games. I can't think of any other. Maybe it was a drive-in. Maybe it was when Stunt Car Racer won the vote. I don't know. Anyway, an old favourite of mine, and a very late DOS game, 1997 DOS game.
Yeah.
And controversial at the time, which we talked about last time. It certainly won few friends in our illustrious press and politicians who like to reign all over video games. It really, I think now if you went back to it, it probably just seemed comical rather than brutal. Although it does involve winning points for mowing down pedestrians. So maybe it is in bad taste. But it's fun. And it was fun back in the late 90s. And it'd be interesting to see whether it still stands up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, good choice as well. It's one I've only played briefly. So I remember it from back in the day. It's one of the few games that my wife actually had when we moved in together, I remember. But so
me, this is not a girl's game.
No, but she had it anyway. So, well...
Yeah.
Good choice. So,
shall I take one more and then I'll hand over to you for the next few?
Sure. You can take the next two because they kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah. So this is interesting. So I'll take these two at once. So SD Matt suggested MechWarrior, but that was just after Rax1981 suggested MechWarrior 2.
Yeah.
So yeah, both those games, obviously the first MechWarrior games, MechWarrior was a sequel to BattleTech, wasn't it? I've never played a MechWarrior game, have you?
No, I only briefly dabbled with them. So I've never really tried to dive into one of those. They felt as if you really needed to put in a lot of time to learn how to control those mechs. But maybe
it's
I'm wrong.
It's like a flight sim, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And likewise, I've never really wanted to play a flight sim.
No.
But
I just big robots just don't do it for me.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, of all like the geek culture things that I enjoy, and I enjoy lots of the very typical kind of, you know, I'm really into sci-fi and fantasy and all that kind of thing. The one thing that's just never really floated my raft is mechs. Just never really been interested.
No, me neither. Me neither, really. But it's
they're
a game
very
series
well thought of games.
Yeah, exactly. And this game series that's been long running and it's very well received. So, and this is actually from 1989. I never knew the first MechWarriors was that old, actually. Yeah. But it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine it's dense, to say the least. But that, you know, we've always said that the Game Club is a great opportunity for games like that because it does force you to spend some time actually reading instruction manuals and getting into it.
And MechWarrior 2, I see, is from 1995. So that must have been the one I tried back in the day, actually.
I remember that was when, so that would have been, I'd put DOS down here on our list, but I'm pretty sure that was an early Windows 95 game.
It actually says it's a, no, there is a Windows release as well from December 95. It was released for DOS in July 95.
I'm pretty sure, and I could be completely wrong, but when I first got a PC, a Windows PC in 1995, and I'm sure that MechWarrior 2 came with it.
Mm.
But I don't think I ever played it, if it did. I was too scared, too put off, too complex.
Yeah. So
over to you, mate.
Yeah. So the next game is from Skeggistar, and it's Alicia Dragoon on the Mega Drive. And
this was on the list last year, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. looked nice last year, still does.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Yeah, actually, I'd love to play that at some point. So
yeah,
definitely right up my
alley.
It
looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, it continues to be, I think, a game that doesn't get enough attention. Although Retro Gamer have covered it a couple of times, it's not one that is talked about very often. But you know, every time I've seen it running, I prefer the look of it to Sonic.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always thought it looks better than that and looks like it controls better. I think this is a good shout, and it's come back again. And I think anything that's been on this list more than once, I think, deserves a close look.
Yeah, indeed. It's if we didn't mention it, it's a 1992 platform game.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a platform adventure, really.
Yeah.
It's got a cover that reminds me of a mix between Golden Axe and
yeah.
Just Golden Axe. Reminds me of Golden Axe, the Golden Axe cover as well.
yeah, I know what you mean. Mm. Yeah.
And the next one is Namco's, who suggested Myth the Fallen Lords for Windows. Lots of PC games here, eh?
Lots of PC games. I was really kind of taken by that. Although actually there's now from this point on, there's actually not that many.
Okay.
But the next couple are, and then there's a bit of a break.
Mm. So it's a real-time tactics game by Bungie. Did you ever play Myth?
I've never played it, but I'm very aware of it.
Yeah.
Always thought it looked like my cup of tea. I've just never got to it. I didn't realise until kind of looking at this list, and I was just having a quick look at each of the games, I didn't realise it was developed by Bungie.
Yeah, it was.
So that must have been around the time they were making the Marathon series for the Mac, wasn't it?
So it's from 1997. When is Marathon from? That's earlier than that, isn't it?
Maybe. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they had a circuitous route, didn't they, from Marathon to Halo?
Yeah. So I've never played the first one. I definitely played Myth 2 and loved that back in the day.
Yeah, I remember that one as well.
But I've never played the first one.
I'm pretty sure they're both on GOG, so nice and accessible.
Yeah, yeah. Then we have Dark Whalebone, who wants us to play Knights of the Old Republic.
Or, put that on the list for next
KOTOR.
Time,
eh? Yeah, that's that's an RPG, isn't it? So it's probably too long for a single month. It's a game that I've heard so much about, and I've never played it. And I do like my Star Wars, so I should play that at some point.
You'd really enjoy this.
Yeah.
So it's BioWare, isn't it? Mm, so I mean, I played it. I remember when this came out, I spent a weekend eating pizza, drinking beer and playing Knights of the Old Republic and finished it in pretty much two sittings.
Yeah, okay.
Two kind of 15, 16-hour days. And it's brilliant, you know, and I was well into Star Wars at the time. Yep. And I'd love to see whether it stands up as an RPG, actually, because I was just so into the fan service back in the day.
Mm, yeah.
I think it would be a great one to stick on the list for the RPG over August and September.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
King Trilo chose Deus Ex, or whatever, however you pronounce that, actually. Deus Ex? Is that how you say it?
Deus Ex.
You say Deus? Okay. Deus Ex. Okay, well, Deus Ex is a 2000 PC action role-playing game. For me, it was a PC game, at least. I see it was released on the PlayStation 2 as well.
I played it on the PS2.
Really? Okay. I played it on the PC and I absolutely loved it. That was one of the games, like you just said you did with the Knights of the Old Republic, was what I did with Deus Ex. I couldn't put it down once I picked it up. That was a brilliant game. So it's a first person, if I recall correctly, shooter and puzzler role playing. You augment yourself with these upgrades to your body and your weapons, and you get go through this really, really exciting story, actually. All written in the Unreal Engine, so it looks really good.
Yeah.
So, I was blown away by Deus Ex back in the day.
It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, okay.
It's absolutely top tier, epic shelf stuff for me. I absolutely love it.
So for me too, but for some reason, I've never replayed it. I've only played it that once.
Have you ever played any of the sequels?
None. Not a single
one. Me neither.
Weird.
I haven't, and they've been really well reviewed as well. I mean, it's not like they're meant to be rubbish, But I've never played any of the other games, and I loved it. And like you, I played it on PC and played it on PS2, but other than that, I've never played it. Probably haven't played it since for 20 years.
Yeah, me neither.
Long time. So that's a really strong shout. I'd love to go back to it. I'd love to see what kind of mods have been produced as well to bring the graphics a little bit up to date.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting.
Okay.
Zapmort, who suggested Llamatron 2012.
Yep.
For the Amiga / Atari ST. It came out on both at the same time.
Actually.
What did I say? 2012?
Yeah.
2112.
Yeah, 2112, like the Rush album. The best of the Rush albums.
Is that where Jeff Minter got his inspiration?
Could have been. I mean, he strikes me as a Rush kind of guy.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
Of Rush and lots of stuff you can put in your pipe while listening to Rush. That would be good.
And cheap.
And cheap, yeah.
Like some cheap as well, doesn't he? Here's a big confession time. I actually don't like... if Jeff, in the unlikely event that Jeff listens to this, I have the utmost respect for Jeff Minter. I just don't really like his games.
Really?
I don't like Robotron. I don't know, that's sacrilege, isn't it, for some people, but I'm just so bad at them that I find them just really frustrating.
Yeah, they are definitely almost always trippy and skill-based games. So it's an acquired taste, I guess, but I really like them normally.
Yeah. So this is really, I mean, really the only absolute high score chase game that we've got on this list. I'm sure we can make a high score game out of some of these, but this is the only absolutely, there's a real lack actually of arcade games on that have been suggested. And this really is the only one that you could say is a pure high score game.
Yep.
And interesting. It'd be interesting to actually have a look at it and compare and contrast the Amiga and ST versions, because they did come out in the 80s, I think it was 89, and I imagine the Amiga was a port of the ST version. So could be interesting.
Yeah, could be. I actually never knew there was an ST version. I know this for DOS and Amiga.
There is an ST version.
Yeah.
I've kind of assumed that's at Mort. In fact, I think he actually said on Discord it was Amiga and Atari ST.
Okay.
He actually linked to a YouTube video of it as well, and it looks absolutely back crap crazy, as all of Mr. Minter's games do.
Yep.
I'm sure it's delightful.
Yeah.
Next up, King Kong Groover, sticking with the computers again, and a computer game, and most of these have been computer games. So King Kong Groover has suggested the Chaos Engine. Now, probably what King Kong Groover doesn't know, most of our listeners don't know, is that the Chaos Engine 2 was a hair's breadth away from being the game for June, and it was pipped. The guys changed their minds right at the last minute to Mayhem in Monsterland. So we almost were playing a Chaos Engine game this month, but King Kong Groover wants to bring it for next month.
Yep.
What do you make of the Chaos Engine?
It's funny because it's a game I should love, but I've actually never really been able to get into it.
I feel the same.
Not sure what it is. It's beautiful. It's the Bitmap Brothers at their best. It looks good. It sounds good. It plays good, I guess.
Yeah.
But it for some reason, it just doesn't really interest me. I mean, it's like what do you call it? Form over substance? What do you call it?
Yeah, substance over form.
Yeah.
Or form over substance, isn't it? All mouth and no trousers.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather just be playing Gauntlet then.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in fact, there's another game later on our list, actually, that I which is similar and I much prefer.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I quite enjoy it. I find it quite playable. It looks nice. It sounds nice. I just don't love it.
Yeah, but it is one that so many people really do love, so it would be interesting to spend a month with it and see if there is something there that I just haven't seen in those. Well, you know how it is when you have so many games, you pop it on, you spend 10 minutes and you say, well, that wasn't magical, and then you move on, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so moving on. Now, this is interesting. Not Minor Willy has suggested Vib Ribbon on the PS1.
Yeah.
I love this suggestion.
Yeah, me too.
I've never played it.
Nope, me neither.
But I've always wanted to. That kind of wireframe. It's a it's a it's a Is it kind of a rhythm-based platformer? Is that the way you describe it?
It's a rhythm game, at least. Not sure I'd describe it as a platformer from the videos I've seen of it, but it looks really, really interesting.
So the big thing about this is that, and the big thing about this back in the day was that you could put your own music CDs into the PS1, and the game would almost like an oscilloscope. It looks like, doesn't it? The game's kind of levels would differ depending on the beat of the music that you were playing. So if you put some jazz in, it'd be all very simple, and if you put some metal on, it would be spiky and hard. And this is what the guys were saying on Discord was, well, you know, for those that emulated, the unfortunate thing would be that you wouldn't be able to put your CDs in. But then good old Roushi came up with the idea, well, yes, you can, because you can just rip your CDs, convert them to ISOs, and then actually you can play your ISO in your PS1 emulator whilst you're playing Vib Ribbon, and apparently it works perfectly.
Oh, did he actually try it?
Well, apparently it's a thing, and it's been done, and he linked to, Roushi, Mr. He's the encyclopedic when it comes to this kind of stuff. And he linked to a page which said that you can do it. It's very simple and works really well.
Yeah. So this really interests me. I'd love to see this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And me, I have to say. It's a strong choice.
Yeah.
Do you want to take the next few, mate?
So the next one is another RPG, isn't it?
Is he?
Isn't it? Cillian. So Cillian for the Sega Master System is like an adventure platform game, isn't it? At least. So kind of like, well, RPG and RPG. It's an adventure at least, right?
It gives me... my mind's gone absolutely blank. What was the game we played on the BBC Micro?
I played it days ago on the Amiga.
Exile.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Man,
that was driving me crazy. Everyone out of their misery.
Yes.
And now, it does. It gives me Exile vibes.
Let's move on away from Cillian on to Kit's. Hey, didn't Kit already? Kit said Carmageddon. You got Kit here again with Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap. Do you know?
Kit's managed to slip onto the list twice.
Yes. So, sorry, Kit. Wonder Boy 3 is not going to be there then. You got Carmageddon in. But Roushi makes his first appearance here with Rocket Robot on Wheels on the Vaseline Vision. It's
the N64, mate.
The N64, of course, yes. So, Rocket Robot on Wheels. I know you love that one, Chris. Tell us about it.
Well, I don't... I've never played it.
Really?
But it's... No, I've never played it, but I'm very, very intrigued. Huh. Because it's a puzzle game. I mean, and we know every game is a puzzle game. But this particular is a puzzle game where you control Rocket, the robot, and it's a kind of physics-based
puzzle. Wheels?
He does.
Oh.
He's a rocket robot, and he's on wheels.
Mm.
And it's puzzle games. And you go around through different worlds, and you have to... there's various objectives, and it's all kind of physics puzzle-based. But this intrigues me because it was the first game to be developed by Sucker Punch.
Yeah, who did the fantastic Sly Cooper series.
Yeah, and have just gone on to make Ghosts of Tsushima.
Oh.
On the PS4,
okay.
Which released last year.
Yeah.
So they've now moved into that kind of AA/AAA world.
Mm. Did you ever play the Sly Cooper games?
Yeah, I love the Sly Cooper
really
games.
Good. Love the graphical style there.
Exactly. So this is obviously earlier than that. This came out in 1999, and Sly Cooper was with PS2 games that series, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
This looks really good. Yeah, it's got N64 visuals, of course, and it's a bit Vaseline-y and those lovely retro nostalgic 3D. We have to get our nostalgia goggles on to see them in the way that we've seen them back in the 90s.
Yes.
But it does look really interesting. And I actually think, Matt, given the nature of the game, I actually think you'd really like it.
Yeah.
This is one that you should, even if this doesn't get picked, it's definitely one that I think you should have a look at.
So what is this, a 3D platforming game?
It's like a 3D, like a physics-based platformer. Almost every game on the N64 was that third-person 3D environment, wasn't it? But this does look really good.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Yeah.
It's a good shout.
Yeah.
Phoenix Z80. He's bringing... You know, he doesn't go in lightly,
he's bringing in the big guns here.
Bringing in the big guns. In fact, the next couple are pretty big guns.
Oh, yeah.
Metal Gear Solid.
Yes. Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid.
On the PlayStation 1, of course.
He's never played a Metal Gear game.
Really? Okay.
Unbelievable is what he said on Discord. He's never played a Metal Gear game. I did try and convince him to scratch that and go back to the MSX original, because that's just had a re-release on the Amiga only in the past 2 months.
Yep.
Which I thought might have been really interesting. But he was unswayed, and he went with Metal Gear Solid. I'd love any excuse to play that game again. I absolutely loved that back in the day.
So I never played it back in the day. Picked it up a handful of years ago, and I played maybe an hour or two, and for some reason lost interest and never picked it up again. So yeah, I'd love to. I cherish the chance to actually try to get all the way through it, because it was great. It was great.
Yeah, and I've played Metal Gear Solid. I've played 2. I got about 8 hours into 3 and stopped. It's not like me to stop. I can't remember why. And then I've never played the modern games, but they're supposed to be wonderful.
Yeah.
4 and 5.
Yeah.
Maybe we could. We need to think about giving them the playthrough treatments at some point, I think. But I'd love to go back to Metal Gear Solid. It's a very strong choice. Mm.
But here comes the really big hitters. So
two people suggested this.
Yeah, one. The Xbox Vision and Chris Silva suggested which game, Chris?
Half-Life.
The 1998 beauty that completely, twisted what we thought was possible and the storytelling that was possible in a first-person shooter.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a wonderful, wonderful game. The only thing with Half-Life is I've played it, quite a few times.
Okay. Have you played all the way through it a couple of times?
Yeah.
Okay. I've only played all the way through it once. So,
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a classic.
It is a classic. It's so atmospheric. And storytelling-wise, these guys really did break some new ground in a first-person shooter. Everybody was blown away by the fact that the intro, 5-10 minutes with a guided tour through this research complex, was in the in-game engine, and you're actually given some agency. You could look around while you're running through there. We experienced something like that in modern games in the playthrough podcast, for example. So these guys started that, and I mean, there's so much going on, so much narrative being told that's not like on the nose, but just happening around you while you're moving through the world. And of course, the narrative that's completely scripted is there as well, and it's really good. So yeah, this game really took the world by storm in 1998.
It's really, and it's the same with Half-Life 2 now. It's difficult to imagine what it was like before Half-Life.
Yeah.
And then Half-Life 2 did it again in 2005. We're so used now, anyone who plays modern games are so used to having the environmental storytelling and the game not being smacking you in the face with its story. Yeah. That has become the norm, and it is the norm because of Half-Life.
Yeah. This is also, for me at least, the first game where I kind of had the feeling that the enemies, the AI enemies, were intelligent, that they were actually an artificial intelligence. Because, for example, the soldiers later on in the games, they will always attack you in squads of three, and they would go into cover, and I mean, the little dogs that would hear you and move according to which sound you made. And there's so much there that's just made this world feel alive for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously you can never experience it now. I mean, part of the problem about these older games is that it's impossible to put yourself back in 1998 playing that for the first time and being completely blown away. But I think we can now appreciate it from a different perspective, knowing what's come afterwards and all the things it influenced and gave birth to. I think we can go back today now and really look at it and say, oh yeah, look, there's that from that game. Yep. And we've seen that there, and this is where most of those things started there.
And these guys did a brilliant thing with the little expansions or extra story missions full games that came afterwards. I'd love to today play through Half-Life and then immediately turn around and play through Blue Shift, which is the same story. And you see the same things going on just through the eyes of one of the cops, is it Barney, or I forget what he's called.
Barney,
One of the cops on the space station or wherever they are. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a strong choice, isn't it? And it's going to be difficult to overlook just because of the stature of the thing. And I mean, I'd love to play through it now and then sit down and talk about it for a couple of hours and pick it apart and talk about some of the things. It's, you know, some of the spin-offs, and because it actually isn't that long a game, you know, when if you know what you're doing, it's not a game that will take hours and when it will take hours, but it, you know, it's not a massively long game.
Okay.
But it's a really strong choice.
Yeah, indeed. But enough about that now. We've spent half the episode talking about Half-Life, I feel. So let's move on to Dr. Gross. Well, what, somebody who's
he's
called...
Swedish, so yeah. I'll go with you.
Yeah. I'd say Dr. Gross. But it'll be Little Samson on the NES, which is a 1992 platform game, a Taito game.
1992 on the NES, Matt.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Very late. And he said when he chose this that it was a good example of a late NES game. Now, we've gone from a game that I'm sure everyone listening to this has heard of to probably a game that I suspect many people won't have heard of.
Yeah.
But that's lovely, isn't it? I had a quick look at the screenshots on this, and it looks absolutely lovely.
Looks a bit like it a really Mega Man does. Game in some respects.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like an 8-bit game.
No, that's true.
It's yeah, I don't know the developer, Takiro. It's a Japanese game. Yep. It was published by Taito. Mm. Yeah, it looks really interesting. There's some big names on this list, so I suppose it's always going to be difficult to choose a game like this. But I mean, it deserves some airtime, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right. What's next?
And what's next is John Sheb 100, who says he wants us to play an RPG, Phantasy Star 4 on the Mega Drive.
Yeah, I did give John the option of choosing something else because he chosen an RPG, but he said he was very pleased just to stick with the suggestions that others have made. Yep. And I promised him that we put Phantasy Star 4 on the list to consider for next month. I've never played a Phantasy Star game. I'd like to, but my concern and why I probably wouldn't champion this, John, I'm sure, and I've heard it's brilliant, is I don't feel like I'll go into the Phantasy Star series at number 4.
Yeah, I've got no idea how self-contained these are, whether you need to play the first installments or whether you can just pick it up right there.
I have no idea.
I'd be okay because I've grown to so old that I now know I will never get through all of the game series I want to get through, Chris. So it's okay just to cherry pick the few installments in the series that are supposed to be the best.
That's a very sensible and mature view of the world. It's one that I just might. There's a certain part of me that just can't bring myself.
You're not
to do
even
it.
40 yet, mate. You're a long way away from that.
I've got back. I'll still be playing video games when I'm 90. That's for sure. Deadlock.
Yes.
Wonder Boy. So we do get a Wonder Boy title on the list, which I'm pleased about. Wonder Boy in Monsterland.
The arcade version.
So I think this is the second Wonder Boy game, is it not? After Wonder Boy? I think it's, 1987 arcade title. It was ported to all kinds of stuff as well. This is where I get so confused with the Wonder Boy series. So it was known as Wonder Boy, Super Wonder Boy 3 in Japan.
Okay.
But it is the second one because it was released a year after the original. And it's because the complete and total mess, isn't it? The Wonder Boy timeline. There's about 4 Wonder Boy 3s. Anyway, this is the second one, and it's the arcade one. And what Deadlock said was that this is it's an arcade game, but it's also an RPG as well. Yep.
Really weird.
I've never played a Wonder Boy game.
Oh, we had this at the local chip shop. I played this a lot, but never got really far, actually.
Is it got RPG elements?
Oh, yeah. You have to go into the shop and buy items and buy extra hard containers and all sorts.
In a coin-op?
Yeah. It's a bit weird.
Weird, yeah. Well, I'm very intrigued. I mean, lots of people love the Wonder Boy games, and there's a new one coming out on the Switch, isn't it? Asher in Monsterland, is it?
Yeah, sounds right.
Switch. And I know Dragon's Trap has obviously had a very lovingly well-received remaster in the last couple of years.
Yep.
So I feel like, again, it's a series that I need to dive into at some point. And, could be a good place to start.
Yeah.
Feathers McGraw. So this is what I was talking about earlier when we talked about the Chaos Engine. He has chosen Alien Breed. Mm. Now, that I see that as another Gauntlet clone.
Yes, yes.
But a little bit, yeah, obviously differences. But I see that as definitely something which stems from Gauntlet, like the Chaos Engine. And I just have a lot of nostalgia for Alien Breed. And I think if you were to stick the Chaos Engine and Alien Breed in front of me, I would always choose the Alien Breed.
Yeah, I would too.
Are you a fan?
I would too. Yeah, I like the Alien Breed series. Well, some of them at least. Tower Assault, no. But an Alien Breed 3D, one. I mean, I've never played that on a machine that it actually runs on, so no. But the first two were really good.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to revisit it, actually. I've actually got the big box Alien Breed for the Amiga. Okay. I mean, the discs don't work, obviously, but I've kind of got it with all the innards.
Yeah.
Might be nice to get out if it gets chosen.
Yeah. And if I do recall correctly, Alien Breed is one of the games that you can actually play on Amiga Live in two-player mode, isn't it? But the Chaos Engine is as well, actually. So those games would lend themselves to multiplayer gaming.
Now, that would be a really good way to play the Chaos Engine or Alien Breed, actually. And that would give it a new lease of life, I think.
Yeah, indeed.
Mm, interesting. So, next up, I think Coop's trying to tell me something.
Thanks, Coop.
Because Coop
just hit him with a clue by four. Maybe he'll understand not to put those theme girly games on
there.
Smacking
me over the head with Syndicate by Bullfrog. Syndicate, which just missed out of the Bullfrog. It was probably between that and Theme Hospital in the end, wasn't it, Max?
Yes,
I think,
yes.
With the one I convinced you on Theme Hospital. Mm. But, yeah, as I said, it's a game that I'm not a fan of, but yeah, I do feel like I really probably ought to go back and have another look because I'm clearly missing something.
Yeah. Well, you are missing something. It's a brilliant game, mate.
Next
up,
Patrick.
Yep, Patrick. He wants us to play a game I would really love to play. It's Little Big Adventure. He's written down it's the Windows version. I'm pretty sure that had a console release as well, didn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I only know it as a PC game.
Yeah, me too. But I'm sure. Let me just check here.
It wouldn't surprise me. I can see it running on a SNES, I think.
No, actually, but it didn't. It did. It's got a PlayStation. I was sure it was a PlayStation version. Yeah,
oh,
it's got
of course, a it was a PlayStation. Yeah. Yeah.
But I've played it on the PC as well.
Yeah, saying running on a SNES. I mean, it's way later. 97, wasn't it?
So it's a 1994 game, actually. So it's not that.
Is it really 94? Yeah.
But it's an adventure game. But it's also a bit of an action game. You can die, and there is some combat. So there's a lot of sneaking around as well. You need to make sure you're not, if you're doing combat too often, you're making a mistake in a Little Big Adventure. You need to avoid the combat. That's at least my experiences as far as I've gotten into it. But it is an adventure game where you play as Twinson, who's a Quetch, one of the four races of creatures on this planet. And the evil doctor, his name is Funfrock. The evil Dr. Funfrock, I think, has collected all of the inhabitants of the planet on one hemisphere and is doing something bad on the other hemisphere. And, you are the Quetch that's going to overthrow Dr. Funfrock and free people because he's holding them in an iron grip. He's got two weapons at his disposal. One is teleportation and the other is cloning. And he can clone creatures at will. So he'll just clone new soldiers and send them through teleports to get after people and catch people. So you need to overthrow that oppressor, that dictator, and that's the adventure, the Little Big Adventure. Or it was actually called Relentless as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Twinson's Adventure.
Yeah. It definitely rings a bell. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a game. I mean, think the old 8-bit arcade adventures, really, isn't it? You know, it's a bit like, it's you can definitely draw a line from the likes of Dizzy or Super Cauldron, you know, that kind of arcade adventure where there's stuff to find and there's puzzles to solve, but there's combat and there's platforms to jump over and it's a bit kind of genre bending in some ways. I was so intrigued by this back in the day, but I was absolutely rubbish at it. I couldn't get anywhere on it. And of course, you know, when you're 14 or 15, you move on, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to go back to it. It's definitely one that I've always wanted to go back to. I think a lot of people are like that, including Patrick, which is why he suggested it.
And it's a French game, by the way. It's by Adeline Software Adeline. International.
Right.
I think you and I actually mentioned this recently, and we mistakenly said it was a Ubisoft game, but it isn't. It's from Adeline.
We did.
I think who told us that?
Someone on Twitter.
Laurent Giraud.
Yeah, and didn't he tagged in one of his friends, didn't he?
Who actually worked on it,
Who actually worked on the game.
Yeah, so if this gets chosen, you need to hook us up with this guy, because...
For sure.
We need some information.
Come on, Laurent. Laurent works in the industry. He's a developer, isn't he? So he can... I'm sure he's got some contacts there that he could hook us up with.
Yes.
Right, next, Trantinator, who is Carl from the, I think, isn't it, from Video Game Newsroom Time Machine?
Yes.
That's Carl. Now, Carl's, if it's not his favourite game, it's one of his favourite games, is Project Firestar.
Yes, Project Firestar on the C64. 1989 game, distributed on four discs, if I recall correctly. It's a
four
huge
discs.
Game. And it's a very, very early survival horror game for the C64. You're on this spaceship, and something you have to figure out why the entire crew is gone and dead, and there are these creatures on board, of course, that you need to steer clear of, and it's a timed game as well. You need to do different stuff at set periods, and it's a world that's very much alive with this clock ticking while you're moving around it. It's a brilliant survival horror, and actually really really scary for a C64 game.
Yeah, I've heard only amazing things about the game. It was on our survival horror shortlist.
I think it actually did
make the final four, didn't it? So it's been around before. I learned a lot about it then. Everything that I've learned makes me think it's a game that I would certainly enjoy to play. And anything that prolongs the C64 on the desk is always going to be pretty high up there in my reckoning.
If it gets any more prolonged, it's going to be a CPC.
Exactly.
A surfboard.
If only.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then finally, so this was the first game that was announced. So we're going in reverse chronological order here, in the order that they were nominated or suggested. Yoldi Indie Guy has suggested Zor. I think that's how you pronounce it. X-O-R.
Yeah, Zor.
Are pretty much every ace, certainly, home computer 8-bit and 16-bit platform. It was originally a BBC Micro game, a very cerebral puzzle game released in 1987. And as I said, it had multiple releases then through to the mid-90s, right through to the Amiga. It doesn't look much, I have to say. Screenshots do it no justice at all. It looks like a BBC Micro game, and BBC Micro games don't particularly look great in stills. But I've heard, when we were looking at the BBC Micro theme, this was one of the games that was being banded around. So it's, I think it, looks good. I'm a big fan of puzzle games. I know you are too.
Yeah.
It is a very cerebral game. So there's no action here. This is pure puzzle stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we'd really enjoy it.
Yeah, me too.
I think we'd really enjoy it. It feels like a difficult sell amongst this list, it really does. But I'm sure. The Wikipedia page says Zor is a pure puzzle game with no random or arcade elements.
Okay.
Well, so I think it's saying that you got to go in big brain mode to get anywhere near to being decent at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be.
So there we go.
Going to be a bit tough for you, isn't it, Chris?
It will be, mate. Yeah, I'm looking at some of these other games and thinking, oh yeah, they're probably more my type. That's a good list.
That is a good list. And it's actually such a long list. So I was thinking we're not going to pick them off as we usually do. Let's just pick our favorites instead. So do you want me to go first?
Yes.
I'll go first. You go second and third, and I'll take the last one.
Okay. That sounds good.
Or do you want to go the other way around? That's fine with me as well.
No, go on. You go first, and then as your bonus for volunteering to go first, you can have a little bit more thinking time.
Yes, and I need some more time because I'm so much older than you. The first one, man, there are so many great games here, but there's one game that I really, really want to play again. and I will play Blue Shift afterwards. Half-Life, I really want to play Half-Life again, and I'm sure we could get some Half-Life Deathmatch going again as well. So it would be cool to get some multiplayer gaming going over the summer.
I had no idea it had a deathmatch mode.
Oh, it does. It does.
Did it have multiplayer? Did it like that?
I'm sure it did. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. I could just have a look if you want.
So I'd be surprised actually if someone hadn't put it into it at some point. But yeah, I didn't know there was a competitive multiplayer element to it.
I think there is, and I'm gonna look that up while you tell us what your first game on the list is.
Oh God! So this is really hard. I mean, Half-Life is a great suggestion and had to be on the shortlist. I think we both felt that, probably made that quite obvious. Just to give yourself some thinking time. A massive thank you to all of our Discord members who nominated games. It was a great chat over the few days when these games were being announced, and everyone suggested it sparked comments and conversation. So we've got a wonderful Discord community, and we've had once again a great response to this request for ideas.
And while Chris trying to postpone the inevitable, he has to actually pick something. I will tell you, listeners, that Half-Life has indeed got online multiplayer support for both individual and team-based deathmatch modes, according to Wikipedia.
Superb. Okay, all right. Well, that's another tick in the Half-Life box. Yeah. Right, I'm going to go with what I felt was my most intriguing nomination on this list, aside from the RPGs, of course. And that is Roushi's choice, Rocket Robot on Wheels for the N64. I'm so intrigued and a fan of Sucker Punch's output. So going back to their first developed game is something which, I find quite enticing. So my first choice is Rocket Robot on Wheels. Thank you, Roushi. Okay. So I've got to now go back in and choose another one. Mm. So Half-Life's selection for me probably excludes Thief 2. Because I know they're very different, but they're still PC-based first-person games.
So Deus Ex as well, or
it probably excludes Deus Ex as well for me. Yeah. Now that you can do whatever you want, Mads.
We all know you want to play Syndicate, mate.
I don't want to play Syndicate, although I would quite happily go and have another look at it. So I'll tell you what I'm kind of thinking here is Little Big Adventure. Because I think it'd be interesting. Alien Breed, because I haven't spoke about it just then, made me feel quite warm and fuzzy about it. And it's given me the nostalgia vibes. Rib Ribbon.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be fun. And would be a very cool sticking that up against Half-Life and seeing what people make of it on the vote. This is tough. Okay. So I am going to go with Little Big Adventure.
Good choice. That was actually going to be my final choice. So,
okay,
that's cool. So we got Half-Life, Little Big Adventure, and Rocket Robot on Wheels. And so there are more games here I want to play that I can pick. I'd like to try Whip Ribbon as well, but I'd really like actually to give Alicia Dragoon a chance as well. We've seen that on the list before, and it looks very interesting. Deus Ex, I'd love to play, but you're right. I've got Half-Life there on the list as well. So maybe they're too much like each other.
I don't know. They are very different, actually, aren't they? I mean, I was probably being a bit silly there.
Yeah, well, at least they're first person shooters, both of them, but the one with more of an RPG
you could make, isn't it?
actually, to get ours to spread our games out over more platforms, I'm going to go for Alicia Dragoon for the Mega Drive. Okay. So we've got a Mega Drive game, an N64 game, and a PlayStation game or a PC game, and then the PC game in Half-Life there. So that's a good selection of games there for our listeners to vote for.
Man, there are so many amazing games that we've not chosen.
Yeah, and these are all four games that I'd love to play. There are no theme hospitals here or anything, so That's going to be great.
What's your prediction? For the vote.
What's my prediction? So I'm predicting that Little Big Adventure won't get chosen for some reason. I'm thinking if you don't know this game and just check out the graphics, you probably be turned off a bit of by the old school 3D graphics there.
The name doesn't really do it justice either, does it?
No, you're right. So what else? Half-Life. Everybody loves Half-Life, but maybe... Depends. We have a lot of PC gamers, so Half-Life could be a strong contender. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I mean, how could you not be? I mean, any excuse. As I said, I've played it a good few times, so I feel like I know it pretty well. And I'd probably be looking to freshen up my experience of it in some way with some kind of mod if it does get the nod.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to play this. As I've said, if I can find the time, I will definitely... Oh, I can actually. It's in my holiday. I will definitely play through the game and through Blue Shift just to have the story present in my mind when I'm playing through Blue Shift and seeing it from another angle. So that'll be great.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, there we go. So 4 games, Half-Life, Elysia Dragoon, Little Big Adventure and Rocket Robot on Wheels will be going to the public vote just as soon as we can get this episode out to you listeners, which will hopefully won't be very long. It's Tuesday evening now as we record. We're hoping that it will go out at some point tomorrow, Wednesday evening, if we can convince Dean to do a cover in time. I'm going to get straight onto him now. And then Mads, so it looks like I'll be back with Dean on Saturday.
Yes.
Doing the Mayhem in Monsterland episode because Steve's now a famous rock star and he doesn't want to play with us anymore.
He is indeed. They've had great success with their first single and it's a really good song. So listeners, if you haven't, check out The Last Arcade on whichever music streaming service you subscribe to.
Yeah, it is a great track.
Yep.
Is that I'm looking forward to the next episode. Steve's busy now writing music, which is great because that's what he loves doing. And he's having some good success. So yeah, we might hear less of Steve for over the next few weeks while he's busy, but I'm sure he'll be back with a vengeance.
Yes.
And back with us at some point over the summer. So I've got that with Dean on Saturday. And then we'll be back to talk some whatever it is that gets picked. And also picking the RPG for August and September, which is one of my most favorite times of the year.
Yeah, that's going to be easy. It's going to be Spirit Tracks for the Nintendo DS. I want to play that now. So,
yes, that retro?
Of course it is.
Just about, maybe. Is it?
Nintendo DS got to be retro by now.
I'm telling Dean. I'm calling the retro police.
Okay. I'm getting feeling that you want to play something else, Chris.
I don't know. Anything which starts final and ends in fantasy is always good for me.
I'd be up for that as well. I'd be up for that as well.
Demon Souls. That's PS3 retro now, is it?
No, that's definitely not retro, mate.
I'll have to take that on to playthrough.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else, Mads? Shout-outs. Honourable mentions. Anything?
Yeah, shout-outs to the other guys, Dean, Matt, and Steve. And, well, as we just mentioned, special shout-outs to Steve. He just put out his the first track, When We Were Young, by The Last Arcade. It's a great song, so go check that out. But apart from that, I think I'm all good.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, shout-outs to the other guys, Matt, Steve, and Dean. You're all well, guys. And Dean, I look forward to recording with you on Saturday. So that'll be good. It'll be different. A Game Club episode, a Madsless Game Club episode. God, what am I going to do?
That's actually never happened before, has it?
No, this is going to feel very strange.
I'm
going
to have to make a
shout out.
An appearance there at some point.
Well, we need an audio clip, mate, because you have played the game. Yeah. So a listener clip would be nice. And a shout out to Deadlock, because Deadlock sorted me out with an Evercade over the past few weeks, which is excellent. So I've built up a small collection of cartridges so far. I've got 4 and I like it, but there will be more on that when we talk about what we've been up to on the Mayhem in Monsterland episode. But for now, just a big thank you to Deadlock for sorting that out for me.
Yeah.
There we go, Mads. We're done.
All done.
Let's get our listeners voting on these 4 crackers that we've selected.
Yes, we'll put out a very rough edit very soon. warts and all.
Good stuff. All right.
Good as always, mate, and we'll speak again soon.
Yep, talk to you later.
Take care. Cheers, bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than G1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone.